And of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
confess that we are captive to sin and not free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, forgive us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Let us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without you nothing is strong, nothing is holy. Embrace us with your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide we may live through what is temporary without losing what is eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
Oh, from Malachi. See, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you, who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. Sing a new song to the Lord, who has done marvelous things, whose right hand and holy arm have won the victory.
Lord, you have made known your victory. You have revealed your righteousness in the sight of the nations.
You remember your steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God.
Shout joy to the Lord, all you lands. Lift up your voice, rejoice and sing.
Sing to the Lord with the harp. With the harp and the voice of song.
The trumpets and the sound of the horn shout joy before the King of the Lord.
Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell therein.
Let the rivers clap their hands and let the hills shout joy before the Lord, who comes to judge the earth.
The Lord will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. A reading from 2 Thessalonians. Now we command you, beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from believers who are living in idleness and not according to the tradition that they received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you, and we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day so that we might not burden any of you. This is not because we do not have that right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command. Anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now such persons we command and extort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another." Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place? And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues. And there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish." By your endurance, you will gain your souls. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The concept of the end times fascinates many in our society. Whether it be out of entertainment, morbid curiosity, or searching a blueprint of wanting to know when, why, and how, there's still enough people out there that are captivated by this topic. One thing I would say that all groups have in common is that when it comes to Christianity in our society and those groups that engage passionately in this topic, they engage so passively. It's as if they're bystanders and spectators to what is unfolding. Let's go back to the words that we hear in Micah today. See, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. And then you didn't get this verse today in the lectionary. They left it out, but I'll give it to you. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. So we're going to let the calves out of the stall right now, right? Good news. And these words from Malachi reminded Andrew Weimer of the words that the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. offered on August 28, 1963. Martin Luther King said, "Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children." In our time today, we still live with an unfulfilled cry of God's justice in the world, but we are not spectators or bystanders. We are called to be engaged in God's world, not removed from it. We are called to be engaged and minister and alleviate the suffering that people experience by sharing the love of Jesus, not to remove ourselves and prevent ourselves from sharing the love of Jesus with others. But some of us are too busy looking for signs. We hear that in Luke's gospel. "Teacher, when will this be, and what will the sign that this is about? What will be the sign that all this will take place?" And it's easy to become distracted. It's easy to be obsessed with signs. We want to understand the plan. We may think we have a greater sense of control. We have a better grasp of the plan. I was out this week with our youngest child, and we could see some roadside, construction. You don't use your imagination, right? Like, it's always happening, right? And he asked me, "What are they doing? What are they doing over there?" Now, trying to be a good father and a good driver, I didn't get a good look, right? Because I want to keep my eyes on the road. So I didn't get a sense of all that was happening. I had to keep my eyes on the task at hand. And like roadside construction, we can see signs of something that's coming eventually, right? Eventually that project will be completed. But it's not our task to be worried about it, to be consumed with it. We have to continue to get to the places we need to get to. We have to go to the places that God has called us to, not to pull over to the side of the road and find ourselves just waiting and wondering when this accumulation of a roadside project is going to be like. We need to prevent ourselves from being distracted by dead ends. And it's something I mentioned leading into this week's worship service. And I mention it whenever these types of passages come up.
is that Jesus also says in Luke's gospel, do not be terrified. But yet when it comes to hearing about the end times and these signs, Christians seem to be the most terrified. It seems that it still terrifies many, and when we're terrified, when we're afraid, it paralyzes us. And when you're paralyzed with fear, what does that do? It removes you from the world. It pulls you off the path that God has called you to. And we neglect God's vision for justice and to embody the love of Jesus that we're called to share. Let me be clear. The witness that we're called to carry out in the world is a word of deliverance, not condemnation. And when we think of those wrapped up in end times apocalyptic preaching, it's often a message of fear and condemnation. But we are called to bring into this world a message of deliverance and hope. And as I said, those signs are signs that are always around us. Much like roadside construction, that's never going to end this side of heaven, right? There's going to be another project, another road blocked off, and we'll have to figure out how to get to where we're going. It's not going to stop this side of heaven. And I wonder if that's what Jesus is getting at. That end time, it's going to look like any other time, right? So amid that turmoil, amid the insurrections, wars, natural disasters, plagues, and famines, we all try to make sense out of that pain and suffering in the world. That's only natural. But we hear some good news in the prophet Micah today, that in the Son of Righteousness, we are risen with healing in its wings. Now, does that sound familiar, anybody? Risen with healing in its wings? Should sound like a pretty familiar Christmas song. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Son, spelled S-U-N, like you heard in Micah and like you see in the hymn. Jesus is the center of our lives, even in the darkest times. Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, gives us the ability to endure the turmoil that the world and life can bring to us. Yet it is Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, that gives us all the endurance to be faithful witnesses to God's abundant love in this world. Because Jesus came to make things right, to reconcile all of God's creation, that we would be made right with God. What's the next line of that hymn? Light and life to all he brings. That hymn and this message that we bear is a testament to the world of God's grace. See, it's a message of deliverance and hope, folks, not fear and condemnation. Light and life to all he brings. And then risen with healing in his wings. Now the word wing in Hebrew, while it could refer to an angel's wings, also refers to a hem or garment. Think about the time in the Gospels where somebody is healed, right? By touching the garment of Jesus. Just thinking about that Christmas hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, we have that message of deliverance and hope, not fear and condemnation. Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, gives us light and life, and we are risen with healing in his wings. And I believe what many are longing for in this world is to be embraced by this God who is love. Whether they know it or not, that's what many are longing for. So on a macro level, we look at our lessons and we ponder, what does this cosmic plan look like on a grand scale? Yet I believe at the end of the day, people are just simply trying to make sense what everything looks like on a micro level. Because we're often told it's a plan. For better or for worse, we'll say it's all part of a plan. And on that level, we're trying to make sense of that in our own lives. Well, why couldn't I get more time with my loved one? Why did I get sick? This isn't how I expected this to all turn out right now. At some point, we all grieve the loss of a future that we once envisioned for ourselves. We try to make sense of it. And none of it's part of a plan. It's not part of God's plan. That's why we have Jesus, to make things right with the world. That's why we have the Son of Righteousness, because he ultimately came to make it all right We don't worship a God of plans. We worship a God of promises. Let me be clear. We worship a God of promises. When we gather for worship, we hear in the scriptures what? God's promises to God's people throughout the ages. We gather here around Word and Sacrament, we receive God's promise to us today and what the future is going to look like. That's what we cling to amid the turmoil and chaos, even our own lives. That God is with you. That God is with me. That God is in the world. In our prayer, in our worship, in our devotion to God, some of those problems that we face don't go away. But God promises to be with us. God gives us the strength to endure. Centered on Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, may we find healing in ways that we do not expect. And ultimately, have hope and trust in the promise of God's enduring love poured out for all of us on the cross. The love of Jesus gives us that endurance to go forth amid that chaos, turmoil, and darkness. And we go out into the world to bear witness to this message of deliverance and hope of the love of God that is here, right here and right now. And we also offer people good news of deliverance and hope of all that there is to come. God loves you. Cling to the promise that God loves you now and forever. Go and share with other people the love of Jesus, that God loves you. And God promises to love you now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
This time I'd like to call forward Paul Culler and Audrey Hodge, who will be received into membership this morning. Dear friends, we give thanks for the gift of baptism and for these people. One with us in the body of Christ, who is making public affirmation of their baptism.
I present Paul Culler and Audrey Hodge, who desire to make public affirmation of their baptisms.
Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you for this brother and sister, whom you have made your own by water and the word and baptism. You have called them to yourself. Enlighten them with the gifts of your Spirit and nourish them in the community of faith. Uphold your servants in the gifts and promises of baptism and unite the hearts of all whom you have brought to new birth. We ask this in the name of Christ.
Amen. Receive this creed as a reminder of the faith of the Church.
I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the Church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God?
I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
Crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
You have made public profession of your faith. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism? To live among God's faithful people? To hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper? To proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed? To serve all people following the example of Jesus? And to strive for justice and peace in all the earth?
I do, and I ask God to help.
People of God, do you promise to support this brother and sister and pray for them in their life in Christ?
We do, and we ask God to help and guide us.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit you give us new birth, cleanse us from sin, and raise us to eternal life. Stir up in Paul and Audrey the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever.
Amen.
Let us rejoice with this brother and sister in Christ.
We rejoice with you in the light of baptism. Together we will give thanks and praise to God and proclaim the good news to all the world.
Let us give thanks to God for what God has done and continues to do within these individuals, and that they are choosing to live out their discipleship within this community of faith. We continue with the hymn of the day.
Oh,
have one praise to share with the congregation and one request before we start the prayers. Andrea Ehrman, she had her studies taken care of, all done, and it was found that this is an anomaly that does not need any medical intervention. So that is wonderful news for her and her family. She may still have bleeding throughout her life, but again, nothing that needs to be done for doctors, so amen. And the prayer request, Jerry and Brenda Sears are friends of Barb and Maurice Grimm. They were in a terrible accident. Somebody tried to pass them, and a semi, instead of hitting the passing vehicle, hit them head on. They're in their 80s. Her legs were shattered, and Jerry, who had had heart surgery very recently in October, had blunt force trauma to his midsection. So they have been in surgery, and if you could, please keep them in your prayers. United with your saints across time and place, we pray for our shared world. Reviving God, keep your church active in its mission and ministry. Encourage bishops, deacons, pastors, and lay leaders to risk boldly in their proclamation, and fill them with wisdom and endurance for challenging times. Lord, in your mercy.
Receive our prayer.
Renewing God, as the northern hemisphere prepares for winter, make us mindful of the ordered beauty of your creation. Teach us to treasure cycles of rest and new life. Help us care for what you have made. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, accompany all who make sacrifices for the sake of others. Safeguard first responders and active duty military personnel. Grant peace to veterans and heal any wounds in body, mind, or spirit. Lord, in your mercy. Healing God, your people cry out to you. Sustain doctors, nurses, the hospital personnel in their tireless work. Uphold mental health professionals and those in their care. May the Sun of Righteousness rise on all who are sick, especially the Sears family, Tracy, Maddie, Scott, Marjorie, Pat, Andrea, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Betty, Regina, Barb, Jerry, Phyllis, Ella, Cheryl, Lucas, John, Cindy, Leah, Carol, Frank, and our homebound. Lord, in your mercy. Uniting God, unite this assembly in its shared mission and the ministry for the sake of the gospel. Highlight ways we can better work together and give us patience to work through disagreement. Lord, in your mercy. Consoling God, abide with all who grieve for loved ones who have died. Comfort us with the promise of resurrection and new life with you. Lord, in your mercy.
Accept these prayers, gracious God, and those known only to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated. We continue with the offering.
Let us pray. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all who wait upon you, and you open your hands in blessing. Fill us with the good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need, through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, endless is your mercy and eternal your reign. You have filled all creation with light and life. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. We praise you for the grace you've shown to your people in every age, the promise to Israel, the rescue from Egypt, the gift of the promised land, the words of the prophets, and at this end of all the ages, the gift of your Son, who proclaimed the good news in word and deed and was obedient to your will, even to giving his life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Therefore, O God, with this bread and cup, we remember the life our Lord offered for us. And believing the witness of his resurrection, we await his coming in power to share with us the great and promised feast. Send now, we pray, your Holy Spirit, that we who share in Christ's body and blood may live to the praise of your glory and receive our inheritance with all your saints in light.
Amen. Holy Spirit.
Join our prayers with those of your servants of every time and every place, and unite them with the ceaseless petitions of our great high priest until he comes as victorious Lord of all. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated.
This time I'd like to invite forward.
when participating in children's church, or those distributing, helping with the distribution of the sacrament of Holy Communion. Distribution will be continuous. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated host. We'll have two stations for consecrated wine, and if you desire grape juice, that'll be on the pulpit side. An usher will release you forward with trays and glass cups. Receive a glass cup as you come. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you.
Thank you.
Please rise as you're able. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. O God, our life, our strength, our food, we give you thanks for sustaining us with the body and blood of your Son. By your Holy Spirit, enliven us to be his body in the world, that more and more we will give you praise and serve your earth and its many peoples. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.
Following worship today, we have our annual meeting. We invite you, we won't lock the doors and lock you in, but we invite you to stay if you're a voting member. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.